Tuesday, right?
Today's Tuesday.
I panicked.
You nailed it. Dead on target. It couldn't be more Tuesday than it is right now. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. It is Tuesday, as she pointed out. As you pointed out, tomorrow's Wednesday. Who knows what will happen after that? It's unpredictable. This is the bonus hour. Anything can happen during the bonus hour, the stream of consciousness. Welcome to the show. Can we talk a little bit? I didn't even want to bring this up, but I read some of the details of this, and it's too good not to bring up. And by good, I mean really crazy. This is this guy, Eric Schneiderman, who is the state attorney general in New York. Yeah. Who has been accused so far when we went to press earlier today of sexual misconduct against four women. I don't know if that'll change or has changed since the show started, but it was four women. But can I just read you some of the details on one of these girlfriends? Did you see the same story I'm looking at?
Yes, please. Let's share with the class.
Put your creepy pants on, everybody.
I don't have creepy pants.
Listen to this. State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman called his Sri Lankan girlfriend his, and I quote here, brown slave, and wanted her to refer to him as master, the woman says. Now, I know that during what you like to call the sexy time, I know that people go in for different things. But once you're playing slave and master, isn't that a little crazy?
But I
know everybody likes different things. I get it.
And can I say what goes on in someone's bedroom is really none of my business? I know the master-slave thing is not politically correct in this environment or many years ago's environment.
Right.
But what you do in your own bedroom is your business. Unless it comes out of your bedroom.
But don't you think if a guy has a propensity for that sort of play, there's something behind it, right? Don't you think? I mean, I know, and it's. I guess you can go, well, but it's still their business.
Listen, I'm not too kinky. I'll give you that right now. But some people are, and I don't care, but I don't want to know about it either.
Right, right. But if somebody said to you, hey, tell me if you think this sounds weird, but my wife and I like to play a game.
First of all, I hope no one ever asks me this or tells me this information.
Right. It's best that you not know, because then whatever they tell you, it's going to cloud your opinion of them from that day forward, right? You go, oh, that's the guy that likes to play Viking and the flight attendant.
See,
oh, no.
And I'm not a prude, trust me, but I don't care about anybody else's sexual relations.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Right.
I don't want to hear it.
No.
I don't, because I'll look at you funny if it's something that I don't agree with.
Right.
It's like, it's a lose-lose.
Right. Right.
But yeah, I would think that, you know, your typical normal, healthy sexual relationship, you don't need to play roles, but maybe your secret passion is to be an actor and you
right.
never made it.
Oh,
so
that's valid.
I like to be a stand-up comic when I'm getting it on.
And then Jimmy plays heckler.
The guy up front gets it. Yes.
Yeah, this guy knows what I'm going for, huh?
Darn it, I forgot
this
the
guy.
Tagline.
Well, now I feel bad that I told you about my wife and I's Shaggy and Daphne stories. I feel like I
see,
really
but when I hear that from
not.
You, it doesn't change my opinion of you at all.
Right. If anything, it probably enhances
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I just
that's very inventive. Shaggy and Daphne solving a mystery in the Mystery Machine. But if somebody said, like, all right, so not even that person, but somebody goes, hey, I found out something weird about ... whoever it is. They like to play, and then they tell you the game. It just messes it up, because you don't like to think everybody has the right to whatever they want in the bedroom if both parties are consenting. But this is just weird to play brown girl and slave master.
Yeah.
That's just weird. Harvard-educated activist writer Tanya Selvertin told the New York Magazine that her year-long affair with Schneiderman, boy, I'm counting all the letters in both of their names, a lot of letters, that must have taken up the whole article, was a fairy tale that became a nightmare and quickly escalated into violence in the bedroom, even as he begged for threesomes. That's weirded strangely. Why is it worded? Even at, like, until then, everything seemed to be on the up and up. But until he suggested that another slave master been brought into the storyline, that's when it got crazy.
threesomes, and I am not speaking from experience, because again, I just said I don't like when people share information,
yeah.
But I can just say safely without experiencing it.
Yeah.
When you bring in a third party, I would imagine it would be trouble. At some point, in some way, there's going to be trouble.
I would guess.
Because if there's two guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the guys is going to get jealous. It just happens.
Yeah.
If there are two girls, I feel one of the girls will get jealous. It's not a win-win.
Right.
I know I keep using lose-lose, win-win.
Right.
But, you know, it's.
Right.
Maybe I am a prude, Bill.
But then you have this third person also has to be into this storyline, or they're going to go, wait a minute. Did you just say slave girl and master? Wait, what? What did I get myself into?
Sex is supposed to be spontaneous and fun. You
right.
shouldn't have to work at it and go, okay, now what is my role again?
What's my line? Is this my line? Am I supposed to say this now?
You stepped on my line. That's not my line. Those aren't, whatever.
I'm always wearing a squirrel costume, and in every one of these scenarios, I'm wearing a squirrel costume, and there's a very funny joke about storing my nuts. That's all I can say. That's all I can say
home.
At this time.
I'm leaving, Jasmine.
He started calling me his brown slave. She says, and demanding that I repeat that I was his property.
At that point, don't you say something?
Yeah.
That would be. You know what? You know how many times Jimmy Mack would be able to say that to me?
Once. One time.
Why is she?
Right. This is bizarre. This is very strange. Plus the fact that in my head, a state attorney general would have a little more couth to them.
In the office?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's it. Maybe he's so wound up with what he does.
Don't say that.
Normally. And look at all the other politicians that have had similar circumstances. So maybe they feel that they need this as a relaxing way of balancing out their lives. Right?
Maybe. The yin and the yang of it.
Yes. Are they involved in this yin and yang?
No.
It doesn't mention them in the story. He started calling me his brown slave and demanding that I repeat that I was his property, Silverton says.
That's a problem.
And then, here's where it gets really bad. And then the slaps started after we had gotten to know each other. The slaps.
Well, now some people think slaps could be fun, depending
right.
on where and how hard.
Right. And how many.
Right.
Right.
I'm not justifying slaps, but again,
right.
if no one's getting hurt and there are two willing participants, what do
right.
I care?
Right. But the slaps, unless you're Mo from Three Stooges, that was the first threesome. Hey, why does the guy with the bad haircut keep slapping me? You knuckleheads.
One of the trio keeps changing.
Right.
Now there's Curly
right.
Joe.
Right. The guy with the sluggo haircut. Where'd he go? Bring
Shep?
Him back. Curly.
Oh.
Curly had that little dotted haircut.
Oh, right.
Like. It was at first as if he were testing me, and then it got stronger and harder. It wasn't consensual. This wasn't sexual play acting. This was abusive and demeaning and threatening behavior. See, that's where something that starts out questionable just goes off the rail. That's just crazy. She said that as the violence grew, so did his sexual demands. Well, they started out kind of crazy
and
with the slave master and let's invite Maury from down the hall. He was obsessed with having a threesome and said that it was my job to find a woman. Is that the woman's job?
No.
That's not the... I'm just guessing. That's not the woman's job. He said he'd have nothing to look forward to if I didn't, and he wouldn't hit me until I agreed. Oh, I'm sorry. He would hit me until I agreed. Both are strange, but
yeah,
this one...
but the other one made it sound like she liked...
Right. He would hit me until I agreed. She said that she had no intention of adding a second woman to their bed, and then the abuse increased... until Schneiderman was not only slapping her, but spitting on her and choking her. This is awful. He was cutting off my ability to breathe, she said. Soon, we could rarely have sex without him beating me. This is horrendous. The attorney general was often fueled by booze, which you would imagine. He would push her to drink as well. Drink your bourbon, turnip, she said.
What?
That's the phrase he would use.
Is that a term of endearment? Turnip.
Yeah. That's a I don't think, other than this Schneiderman guy, I don't think any human being on the planet Earth has ever said the phrase, drink your bourbon turnip. Like, I can't even, like, what would have to happen for me to
say, something? No. Is this a derogatory term?
Oh, I am. I left this part out. The flower show is in town. You know, the flower show that they do for alcoholics every year? No, there's no setup to that. That was just his thing that he would say to her.
A turnip is a vegetable, not, you're thinking of a tulip.
Oh, I am thinking of a tulip. That's how naive I am. This is all so foreign to me. And what is bourbon again? I was thinking of a tulip. Very good. I thought they were at Holland, Michigan for the Tulip Festival.
Yeah, no.
Because all bets are off when that Tulip Festival is going on, Wendy.
And why turnip and not a parsnip?
Because parsnips aren't sexy.
Turnips. Again, keep your sex life off the air.
Turnips are hot. Have you visited my turnip sex site online? Oh, is it hot? It's on the dark web, Wendy, where I live, on the dark web. Drink your bourbon, turnip. I needed to say one more time.
Wait, I got to write that down.
That's the phrase that pays right there. Drink your bourbon, turnip. She said he ordered her using his nickname for her. His nickname for this woman is Turnip. So he would either call her, how's this for range? Schneiderman would either refer to this woman, Tanya, as his brown slave or his turnip. Those are the two. Shouldn't there be something in the middle of that? Well, the other girl, I guess, would be what would be in the middle of that. A friend finally helped her leave him, she said. Schneiderman told the magazine, so the magazine in question here is The New Yorker, who was running the story. Schneiderman told the magazine in a statement, in the privacy of intimate relationships, I have engaged in role-playing and other consensual sexual activity. Well, the consensual is being looked at right now. I have not assaulted anyone. I have never engaged in non-consensual sex.
Even with a turnip?
Oh, it doesn't say that. I imagine for any turnips listening, this is a very uncomfortable moment. Because rarely, if you're a turnip, rarely are you mentioned in any kind of sexual story whatsoever. But this story is ripe with them.
I get it, a ripe turnip.
I have never engaged in non-consensual sex, which is a line I would not cross, says Schneiderman. Do we believe him?
I don't believe him.
He needs to be convicted by a jury of his turnips. How did that start? Like the first time, you know, the first time you throw out a nickname, you kind of wait a minute to see if it's acceptable. Like if the person you call it, like if they go, yeah, all right, go with that one. Right. I like that one. So at some point he goes, hey, you want to hand me that turnip? Like how did
bourbon
she,
turnip?
Bourbon. Well, in that case,
bourbon,
it was,
comma,
there
turnip.
Was, yeah, there okay. was obviously bourbon somewhere in the room. Drink your bourbon turnip.
Wow. That's just crazy.
I'm going to say that to my wife at some point today and see what kind of reaction I get.
I'll see you with a black eye tomorrow.
I know. What happened to you? Ugh, can't talk about it. Cannot talk about it. Just do not say the phrase, drink your bourbon turnip. If I had a bourbon company, I'd have billboards all over America with some celebrity just saying that. Drink your bourbon turnip, says Meryl Streep, actress. Fine actress.
Yeah, until now.
Until now. Right. So what happens to him now? Does he step down gracefully? Does
well,
he
get resigned.
Oh, he resigned? That's official?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, didn't know that was official. I didn't know it was official. I thought that they were looking at that as a possibility.
I'm pretty sure he resigned.
Jasmine is giving us the thumbs up.
He resigned after the report that he abused foreign women.
I think he resigned this morning.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you got to do the rest of the story.
And now the rest of the story, turnips.
Eric Trad Schneiderman.
Trad?
T-R-A-D-D. Attorney General.
That's got to be a family name, right? Is that his mom's maiden name or something?
It's Swedish for turnip.
I'm laughing, but it's to mask the pain.
Now, did Ronan Farrow break this story again?
This is the kind of thing he goes for.
I think he did it.
Is that his work? It doesn't say here in my version of the story. It just says that it's in New Yorker magazine, but this has been his beat of late.
Yeah, I think he did the dirty work here again.
Boy, he's going to win some journalism awards this year.
Unless the guy who gives him the award has an issue.
Or a turnip farm.
Ronan Farrow said his reporting for The New Yorker on assault allegations against the now former New York attorney.
Wow,
so he was on CNN.
Ronan Farrow is like a force to be reckoned with at this point. He is like at the heart of all these stories. He's great.
He is. Boy, he better not have any skeletons in his closet.
Because
people will be looking at him. Yep. Ronan Farrow again.
All right. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break.
Bourbon turnip.
Judy Pilak will be fine. And then more news, more stories. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. The bourbon and the turnip are no longer with us. I am missing the bourbon. Which would be you, Bill?
And I had to find Judy Pilak. She was lost. I had to find her.
The turnip has turned up.
Right. As they often do.
I just want to know if there's, like, all right, if she has brown skin, what nationality is she?
And she's Sri Lankan.
Are we sure a turnip is not, like, a derogatory term for a Sri Lankan?
Oh, I've never heard that.
I haven't either, but I'm just wondering. We keep laughing about it, and now I'm feeling guilty, like, if it's a Sri Lankan, you know.
I don't think so. I think turnip was his just term of endearment.
But it's not.
Like,
so
somebody
why would
say
anyone
honey cup or something like that.
Okay, honey cup, turnip.
Yeah.
There's
I don't
a
know
big
where
difference.
He came up with I don't know where he got it, but I don't think that's any.
Hey, lentil, what's
now,
going
all right,
on?
You've gone too far. You've gone way too far.
A turnip.
Judy, what does that mean if somebody says, you're my little turnip? What does
I
that
think
mean?
It's cute.
Is that nice?
What's the problem?
All right.
Are you trying to make something out of it? Why does everybody have to
this
be so
guy
sensitive?
Schneiderman was.
Why does everybody have to be so vegetable sensitive?
Right. We are. You know what? Society has become too vegetable sensitive.
I mean, carrot top.
No, you're right. No, that's
ones.
You're right.
That's not cute at all.
That's right.
He looks
plum.
Like a cat.
Puh. Yeah.
Yeah, you little sugar plum. But sugar plum sweet turnip. I guess I don't know.
Drink your bourbon turnip.
Well,
that's
I mean,
the big phrase, Judy.
Turnip isn't the best, you know, veggie. Who's saying this about who?
Schneiderman said that to his
the
girlfriend.
The Attorney General from New York who abused four
he's
women.
He's being very abusive.
Accused of abusing four women.
Accused, right.
By Ronan Farrow.
Yeah.
He is really coming out on the investigative reports.
Yeah. I saw him driving by your house, by the way.
Everything's good.
I don't know
there.
What was going on there. He kept driving.
We don't eat turnips.
He was.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, what do you got planted in your backyard?
He was riding his
body.
Fennel.
Besides fennel's all good.
Ronan Farrow was riding his big wheel past your house. I saw him.
With the fedora hat on because he's Frank Sinatra's son.
Yeah. Fly me to the moon. He's just humming as he's driving back.
Pedal me to the moon.
Pedal me to the moon. All right. It is
I love those big wheels. They make them for adults. A man on a big wheel. Come on.
Oh, you can't say no to a man on a big wheel. Come
says
on.
Bill Leff.
Says
well, that's
me?
What that was. That's how I was telling you about my bike. That's kind of what my bike oh, is. Right. I got a big wheel bike.
Yeah, but it's not like a low rider like a big wheel
no,
is.
It's a high
this
rider.
This is a bike. High rider.
You know, we missed them by like 3 years.
The
like,
adult ones?
Not the adult
oh,
ones. You
right.
can still get one, but the standard
I never
size.
Had one, yeah.
Every kid in my neighborhood had one. Or if you were a little older, they had the green machine. Do you remember that?
No, but I do remember the big wheel. And I got to be honest with you, it sucked because the kids down the street were a few years younger than me and they had them.
That's
and,
what I mean.
But the tire was plastic, so at some point it would wear
out. Yeah.
So, like, when you hit the pedals real quickly, you'd get no traction and you couldn't take off.
You had to get another one.
Another big wheel.
The whole big wheel, yeah.
Yeah, so why was that good? I liked my Schwinn bike better.
Oh, the kids across the street would go so fast. And then
my kids had the Jeep. That was even better.
The big wheel
you're
Jeep?
Rich.
Not the big wheel.
No, it was a mechanical one. Electric.
It was like electric.
Oh, with a battery powered.
Yeah.
Oh.
Only the rich people in our neighborhood
okay,
had
I
that.
Had, well, you know me. I
Goodwill.
I had used one. I had to
you got a used Jeep?
Even as a girl.
I had to buy a new battery.
Mom, Dad, don't buy me a new
well,
one.
Because I was the parent that always made deals and, you know, like paid off my kids in bribes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I bribed Luke if he never went to the, if never wore a diaper again, I'd get him a Jeep. And he just looked at me with that Luke look.
Yeah.
Lucifer, as we called him. And he never wore another diaper. And I was like, oh, I got a Jeep.
You made the offer.
Yeah.
You
so
have
I
to honor
got
it.
One. Yeah. And that, I even like that. I liked riding in that.
There are, we go to eat in Highland Park at my friend Jeff's restaurant, and twice in Highland Park I've seen this family where their kids all have these electric cars that they ride on the sidewalk, And I don't know what they cost, but it's like as cool as a real car.
They're expensive.
Oh, yeah. Man, are they great.
They're like several hundred dollars.
Oh,
maybe
they're
even
sensational.
More. I mean, the battery alone was like $80.
One of them looks like it's like a convertible. It looks like a real car, just shrunk down. And the other's like an old-time looking car. Oh, but I see these kids on these cars, and I go, I want that
so
bad.
You should just knock them off.
I know.
Put a bandana around your face.
The mean streets of Highland Park. Wendy, what former Saturday Night Live cast member is mad at the show?
Oh, I think I saw this.
Do you know this one? Used to be with Saturday Night Live. Spent quite a while with the show. Back when the show was not very good.
Well, that's why they're mad at it. I can't remember. I read this story.
It is your favorite actor and comedian, Joe Piscopo.
Oh, who cares?
Very upset.
I don't care.
He says that what happened on Saturday night with Stormy Daniels was outrageous and that they've gone too far.
I got to tell you, I was kind of surprised that the real Stormy Daniels was on Saturday Night Live this weekend. I didn't take offense to it. I thought it was actually kind of like, wow, that really is her.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would have been someone dressed up as her, and it took me a second to realize it was truly her.
That's exactly what they wanted.
Yep.
You know, did you see it, Jude?
No, I have not seen it.
The opening of the show was a series of people who have been in the news lately in conjunction with this case, with Donald Trump and Stormy Daniels. And you had everybody from Ben Stiller to Martin Short. Of course, Alec Baldwin playing Donald Trump. Who else was involved? There were a couple of other names.
Yeah, I heard some of it.
Scarlett Johansson was in there.
Yeah, as Ivanka.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Fallon was... What's his name?
Yeah,
Jared Kushner.
Yeah.
And then...
It just kept building and building.
Right. Giuliani. What's her name?
Kate McKinnon.
Yeah, oh my God, it was very bizarre looking, too.
But then when they get to the part, of course, where it's Stormy Daniels, it is Stormy Daniels, and everybody goes, wow, it's Stormy Daniels in the scene. That's something.
I think it was a great score for Saturday Night.
It was.
Like, that's what they do. They lampoon everything.
That's what they do. Exactly. People forget that.
Right.
I would have talked to her if she would have had us.
You know, it was like when Jon Stewart hit his show and people would always bring him up as he's a comedian.
Yeah.
They would like, you know, against, what's his name on Fox? The guy who got fired.
Oh, Bill O'Reilly.
Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, no, they're not the same show. You know what I mean? One's lampooning everything and, well, whatever.
So here's the part that I really want to discuss, because this is the key to this whole story. This is Joe Piscopo, and he's kind of railing the fact that Saturday Night Live has gone too far. But he says some nice things about the sketch. Listen to what he says, but then I love the way this ends. These are his words, Joe Piscopo. It was such a great organized sketch, he said, of the controversial skit. Here's the important part. But don't put Stormy Daniels in there. What do I tell my kids?
How old are they?
What do I tell my kids? Well, he's 60, so I'm guessing his kids are in their 30s.
No, you don't
they
know
could
that.
Be younger.
Maybe
they could.
He's
right.
He's got a 3-year-old.
Right.
Okay,
who knows?
And they're watching Saturday Night Live. I would assume you have to tell them a lot.
Well, here's what I would tell my
kids. Tell them about D in the Box. What do you tell them about that? I mean, come on.
Tell them the truth.
But, all right, picture Joe Piscopo and his either 30-year-old or 3-year-old kids sitting around watching Saturday Night Live. And then Stormy Daniels shows up, and he's concerned about what the hell the kids, because she's in a scene. How about that's the porn star that the president of the United States had an affair with
while
his wife was about to give birth to his child. So that's the thing. He shouldn't be blaming Saturday Night Live for what he should tell his kids. He should be blaming real life for what he should be telling his kids.
Exactly. Do his kids only watch Saturday Night Live and not the news?
Right.
They don't watch Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, they can't. Well, it's weird, because if they're young, why are they watching it? And if they're older, well, don't they get it?
Yeah.
Have they heard of her?
Right.
Dylan's 15, Michael's almost 19, and they get it. And if they were any younger, I don't think they'd be watching it.
Yeah.
If there was something so dangerous, you would say, well, this guys, you can't be watching this show anymore. So I don't know how
old... Have his kids seen any of his movies? How does he explain those?
Yes, and now they're blind.
Oh, no. I just think it's funny that that's his concern is now I have to explain the reenactment of what really happened as opposed to what really happened. That's the problem you should have with your kids.
Is he a Trump supporter or not?
Well, he says in this article, he talks about how he has been a lifelong Democrat forever, but I don't think that's the case because he's come forth in the past.
A little about, right-wingy.
Yeah, very right-wingy. And he's been on the radio and he's been, and that's fine. That's absolutely fine. But don't preface it with, boy, I believe so much in this, but now this has really gone too far. And also in this article, this was on Fox News, believe it or not, they go out of their way to talk about other former Saturday Night Live cast members who are also fed up with the direction. Rob Schneider a couple of weeks ago said that Alec Baldwin's impression of the president is too mean-spirited, that whenever Dana Carvey would do an impression, it was kind of more on the 50-yard line.
Not working.
And Alec Baldwin, I got to say, Alec Baldwin agreed with him, which was really strange.
Yeah, it is
this happened 2 weeks ago. He goes, no, this is a more pointed version of the president than Dana Carvey used to present.
It's more caricaturized.
Yes, it's kind of overboard.
It's over the top.
I don't like it as, you know,
Dana Carvey's whole thing
it's
was...
It's not very good to me.
Dana Carvey going, not going to do it, not going to do it. I mean, that was a cartoon impression, too.
But this is way
this
over
is
the
more,
top.
Yeah, it's more, it's angrier. You know,
it's just
his agenda.
I don't think it's as smart. I don't think it's as good.
Yeah,
it's
just
not as good. And for whatever reason.
Well, Daryl Hammond did a better impression of Donald Trump.
Yes.
He just did.
Yeah, you're right.
That was a more believable impression of the man.
Yeah, but Alec Baldwin is a bigger name, so they gave it to him. And Rob Schneider not working. Joe Piscopo not working. Who else wants to chime in?
Victoria Jackson.
Not working.
Not working. Dennis Miller.
Not working as much.
They also mention Norm Macdonald in here, but then...
He's
working steadily, but then the excuses they use or the examples they use of Norm Macdonald agreeing don't really mesh up. Like in the other ones, Victoria Jackson has always been a very extreme right-winger, and so she's playing true to her colors, and Dennis Miller has been for the last 10 or 12 years also.
Which is weird, because they weren't before, were they?
Dennis Miller wasn't. Victoria Jackson always was. Dennis Miller kind of switched at some point.
Well, yeah. I feel like nobody was a crazy right-winger ever.
Yeah.
Before now. I mean, now it's so much more
pronounced. Wasn't as extreme.
Right. It's, right.
To the right of extreme, center or to the left of center.
You always had that, but that was the really small
Rush.
Minority.
Limbaugh.
Right.
That's pretty much it.
Now it's much bigger and broader.
But you could make the argument on both sides, couldn't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. Absolutely.
Don't you think?
And that's where I wish we could go back to a little right of center and a little left of center, not far left or right.
Right. So will that ever happen? Is that ever going to happen again?
I feel in my heart of hearts, and I don't know why I'm basing anything on my heart of hearts. I feel like ultimately it will get back to that at some point because it's so far separated now that, in my opinion, the only thing it can do is start inching more towards the center.
I feel like that, too, except I feel like something big is going to happen.
Yeah, I do, too.
And then that scares me a little
bit.
What
would it be?
I don't know.
Well, if Donald Trump is impeached, there's going to be an all-out civil war.
Yeah, it'll be bad.
It will be bad for all his supporters.
And I feel like he wouldn't, like Nixon wouldn't wait for that. He'd just resign.
Yeah.
And that's
Trump
why I don't
have that.
He would never be.
That just shows up as such a black mark.
Yeah, he would just fire the impeachment people.
But that's why he won't be impeached.
Right.
Because I think it would do more damage if he was impeached.
Right.
I really do.
Yeah, the best thing would be to just go away. If it comes to that.
Several people have made the argument that, like Bill Clinton, he could be impeached and not leave office. That the harder part isn't the impeaching part. It's getting him to go.
Office,
okay, you've been impeached. You got to go now.
Yeah, but I'm going to ask this again. Why didn't Clinton go? See, no one has the answer to this. It was like, was it a civil war?
It was only like, wasn't it only less than a year?
There was still 6 or 7 months left, I think, in his term.
And I'm sure it was a political, I can't remember, but I feel like
it's
a political move. It was because...
Yeah, but you can be impeached without being removed from office. That's what Rich Lankoff has told us.
Right.
And he's explained it, and I still don't know why.
Doesn't have to do with Congress then voting you.
Oh, like, you mean why does that happen?
Like if you're impeached.
Right. So Nixon was impeached and then he was out the door.
Well, he resigned.
He resigned.
So he was not impeached.
Yeah. He did not like, and wait, that's very Trumpian to me.
But he was impeached and then he resigned,
no.
Right? He wasn't?
He resigned, from my understanding.
Yeah, he resigned.
Before
oh,
they.
I thought he was impeached and resigned
no.
before they took
Bill
it to
Clinton
the next
was
step.
The only modern day prisoner. Jeez.
President.
President.
They're not
He's
that
a prisoner
different.
Now.
yeah,
who
was
right.
impeached.
Kind of
yeah.
the same.
Nixon resigned. That I mean, he was probably going to get impeached.
Oh,
he did some terrible things, but he resigned
he was going
before
to get
that happened.
Much worse than that.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's and then but before
the
you know it, 4 years will be up. We'll still be talking about it, and I'm like, oh look, the term
right.
is over.
Right. Except there's already so much talk about Trump running again.
Yeah,
and,
yeah but will oh. he win again? I don't know. I don't know. I really, and I open up the phone lines to this. We're not going to have time but right now, but we can do it. I just want to know that people who supported Donald Trump, if you still support him, fine, but tell me why. Because I watch these wars happen on various friends' Facebook pages, which I do not do anything political mm-hmm. anymore, because you're never going to change anyone's mind, and it just, then you get people that totally don't agree with you posting things on your page that just bugs you. So I watch it happen, and it's like they just regurgitate not true facts. And those are the people that are just blindly following Donald
right.
Trump. And I get it. They wanted a change. They're not getting helped. But people who really supported him and have changed their tune, I want to hear from them. Or the people who say, no, here's why I like him, and can give me specifics. Like, our country's in great shape.
Right. That's the, exactly.
You know, well,
it's always specifically, the same mantra. Yeah.
You know, oh, the market's doing great.
Right.
Really, it's been like a roller coaster.
My favorite is, well, 'cause everything he's accomplished.
I know, but
like
what?
What?
See, and
then they never, yeah.
That's all I need to know.
The markets have been shaky in the last couple of weeks, but prior to the last 5 or 6 weeks, they were really, really good, and I can't figure out why. I don't really play the markets much. I mean, I know what they are. I get it. But if they're built on stability and there's been so little stability, why did the markets flourish for so long until the last month and a half?
Because the economy was better.
And it didn't start with Trump. It was way before that.
Yep.
But, and then, you know, if you're going to take the benefit, then you got to take it the other way too. When the markets crash and they're terrible, then you don't hear anything.
Right.
It's only when they're up. I mean, you can't just pick and choose.
It's not a random sample.
Which I feel like is what happens.
It's overall.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing about Trump that is really interesting, this was a story that broke last night. Seth Meyers is telling the story about how, now you got to go back in time a little bit. Seth Meyers was hosting the Correspondents' Dinner, and Donald Trump is there, and Seth Meyers does a couple of jokes about Donald Trump at this particular Correspondents' Dinner. We're going back, I'm trying to remember what year this was. I want to say 2010. I could be wrong. 2011. So one of the jokes was, and Trump was there. This is back before he had too much by way of political aspirations. There was talk of him running. And Seth Meyers does some joke where he goes, I hear Donald Trump may run for president. He says he's going to run as a Republican. I always thought if he ran, it would be as a joke. And it gets a big laugh. And they show Donald Trump not laughing. And then he does some other joke about Trump, and then another joke, and then he moves on to something else. So 4 years ago, Saturday Night Live does their big reunion show where almost everybody who's ever on the show is there. And they've got all these A-listers in the audience. And Trump is there as a guest to watch the show. And he meets Seth Meyers, and things go fairly pleasantly. So Seth Meyers says, hey, I want to invite you to come on. I've got this late night show that I'm starting. Would you want to be a guest on the show? And Trump goes, yeah, we'll set that up. That'd be great. So then Michael Cohen, who's been in the news quite a bit lately, is the one who calls Seth Meyers' people to negotiate Donald Trump's appearance on the show. And Cohen says, Donald Trump wants to do the show, but he's got one condition. He'll do the show. You have to, on the show, publicly apologize for the way you treated him at this correspondence dinner. And Seth Meyers doesn't know if he's kidding or not, but he's not kidding. And he goes, yeah, that's not going to happen. And he goes, well, then Mr. Trump is not going to appear on the show.
Okay.
He wanted a public apology for that.
Well, was that the same show where President Obama was, so Obama
was
no.
nailing it when with he the was,
I think that was the year, I think that was the 2012 one, or maybe 13. I don't think it was the Seth Meyers one. I think it was the one after.
I saw a documentary, and I'm telling you, they, in this documentary, the people said, this is the point. This is
that
the
was
moment.
It. That, he
where
decided.
Trump said, I'm going to, oh, yeah. You think you can make fun of me? I'm going to put you out of that house and get
no
in there.
No doubt about it.
And it wasn't even, yeah, it was just your typical, you know,
right.
Ribbing. I mean, it was funny,
and
but.
And he always, excuse me, but, you know, on The Apprentice and various. Not on The Apprentice, but on various talk shows he appeared on, people made fun of him a lot.
All the time.
And he played along.
He makes fun of people all the time.
Yeah, but it's different than,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that,
but...
when you see his look, you know, you're like, oh yeah, there, that's when he said, yeah.
Right. I gotta do, I can't just be.
Right. I'll get you back.
Isn't that funny? that's what
I'm gonna get your house.
But look at how it changed history.
I know.
That's the joke. Obama's
the joke
on Trump changed history because it made him go, I got to fight back. I can't let this go on anymore.
Right,
I got to fight back.
Because I'm 10.
Do you think there was a report yesterday that the White House said to Melania Trump, because she started this cyberbullying campaign over a year ago, right? Was
mm-hmm.
it a year ago?
Yeah.
So that the White House said, let's back off on the cyberbullying campaign. Do you believe that? I saw that story yesterday that they asked her to please keep that a little more quiet, that we don't need to really stir things up with a cyberbullying campaign.
Do
Is
I
that possible?
You know, well, that's what it's reported.
I don't even know who to believe.
I mean, let's face it. It is what it's not like you can wash over it. A fact is a fact. He bullies.
No. Now there's alternate facts.
No, there are no alternate facts. A fact is a fact.
It used to be.
True. No, it is still true. It's true or it's not true. And
was that Kellyanne Conway who came up with alternate facts?
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah. The fact, and now I'm Sarah Sanders, just every day of her life gets up there and just argues it.
So are they not, is there stuff that they're just not sharing with her? Like, do they only give her part of the information when she goes out so that way she goes, from what I'm told or from what I know?
You guys, I can't imagine.
When I hear of a state's attorney or a prosecutor, or no, the state's defender, public defender, it bothers me how these people can defend someone that you know is guilty, but that is their job. Isn't that her job? Whether it's telling the truth or not, her job is to defend the president.
Okay, let me just remind everyone. They work for us.
She doesn't work for us. She works for them.
And it's like people who are like, oh, it's going to be great. He's a great businessman. You know, well, government's not a business.
Right.
This isn't a company. They work for us. Her job should be for the American people.
But it's not. And
I know.
Nor was Spicer. And that job hasn't been for the American people.
So when you say no, it shouldn't be her job to just, you know, you should have some moral compass.
They're never going to get anyone in that job with moral compass, ever.
That's what I mean. If you know something's a lie, you're right.
But then you're done with your job. Their job is to...
Which is why we say, I mean...
Why even have the position,
every day when I watch Sarah Sanders, I say, you're going to have to, at some point, live with yourself.
Right.
You're going to have to... I mean, because your job is not to lie to the American people. I mean, you can't just... It's like a bold-faced lie, like, no, here's the sky is blue.
Your job shouldn't be, or it's not?
Yesterday was not blue.
Because there's a big difference between it shouldn't be.
I'm just saying you should not blindly defend the administration if you know it's...
always have. That position has always been like a defense attorney for the president.
Always.
So when they
maybe
sit
you could
down,
argue that when it wasn't so important and so... You know what I mean? They didn't defend anything. They just answered the questions.
Right.
Here's what he did.
That's the way
we know what he did. No, he didn't.
Okay,
no,
but it's different
now. The president
now.
Did that. No, he didn't.
Because there's miscommunication in every aspect. You hear four different stories, not just two.
Right. Maybe. And I don't know. Yeah, maybe that is. Maybe they do. To keep everyone on their toes, so you can't really say what's the truth.
So, Jude, when she gets the job, when they first give her the job, or you can go back to Sean Spicer, do they say, hey, just a reminder, every day you're going to be fielding this sort of a question. So we need you to, whatever the president says and thinks, that's what you have to reflect. Do they just say that to them point blank?
I would imagine, if the president does something and he did it, it's a fact, and then you get out there and it explodes, it blows up, you know, your job is to defend the president. Yeah,
right.
To defend the policy.
Defend and defuse.
Office. Yes, defend and defuse. You know, okay. But there comes a point where, and you know what else, and I know I'm picking on Sarah Sanders just because I want to. Because she is so mean. she has, you know, she doesn't just defend it. She turns it on whoever asked the question. And I'm like, wait a minute. What do you, you know what I mean? You don't need to do that, first of all. So that alone, because, and she's frustrated, obviously.
But her job isn't to make, all right, you ask Sarah Huckabee Sanders a question. Her job isn't to make you look ridiculous for asking the question.
Right.
It's to answer the question.
Exactly. And if you want to not answer the question or tell us the sky is green, when we know clearly it's blue, I mean, that, those are the things where I'm saying where it's just so ridiculous, then okay, that's when I say now you're at some point you're going to have to go live with yourself.
Right.
She doesn't care about what the reporters think. She cares about keeping her job and making the president happy. That's her job. I couldn't do it, but I don't blame her for doing it.
And I do blame her because I feel like if you go into government, that's not the kind, that's the, that is the farthest thing from what you should always be doing.
I agree with you.
Working for America. How is that working for America?
It's not. It's working for the White House.
And you're trying to change things, you're trying to cover up. Oh, I mean, that your job is to make America great again.
Yeah.
And that is to support your head guy, which is him. That's her job.
I guess we could argue the semantics forever, but no.
No, drink your bourbon, turnip.
All right.
It's the only way to end this.
Judy, thank you for hanging out. And do as Wendy asks, please.
Okay.
It's so much easier. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we'll close things off. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
That is all she wrote.
That's it, Wendy.
She being Judy Pilak,
I guess. The writer of all things. You know, we had Jesus on the show today. I'm not sure we can top it tomorrow, but Jimmy Pardo will be on. Is that as good? I think that's as good, right?
I was going opposite. Is he playing the part of Beelzebub somewhere?
I think he might be, yeah. No, he's got this big podcast that's coming to Chicago.
Are you on it again?
They got this goof as a guest. I don't know.
Congratulations,
I don't know.
Goofus.
I don't know who it is. All right, so
I'll be Gail and Tear Goofus.
Oh, that would be fun. That would be a lot of fun. All right, thanks, everybody, for listening. We greatly appreciate it. And give us another listen tomorrow. It should be a good one. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.